John chapter 18, verses starting at verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him."
Please keep your Bibles open there, John chapter 18. Let's pray. Father God, as we now look at these verses, Lord, and as we reflect on why Jesus came into the world, we pray that you would challenge our hearts, that you would rebuke those areas of our lives where we have not wanted your truth to shine in, that you would give us eyes to see, Lord, and ears to hear what you have for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These days, we tend to use the internet a lot more than we used to. Now, I know some of you will think that's a really good thing, and others might have a bit of a different opinion. But whether we like it or not, using the internet has become a pretty normal part of our everyday lives. Now, the internet is driven by some very complicated programming and algorithms. These days, some people like to call it AI or artificial intelligence. But let's be honest, the term artificial intelligence is an oxymoron. Those two words don't go together because a computer can only ever do what it is programmed to do. And what that those algorithms and programming is designed to do is to collect as much information, as much data about who you are and about what you are doing, so that it knows how to put the right advertisements and pages in front of you. I was recently looking for a new set of tires for my car, so I thought I'd check out what was a good set to get. And now, all I'm getting on every time I open up the internet is ad after ad after ad about tires. Similar thing happened when Tamara was looking for something to clean the shower screen. And for months, we've had ads about cleaning shower screens. Yeah, these days, you don't even need to do a Google search to get all of those ads. All you need to do is have a conversation with somebody about a product with your mobile phone in the room. And next thing you know, you're getting all these ads because you're being listened in on. These algorithms heavily affect not only what we see on Google, but also what we see on any form of social media. Doesn't matter whether you use Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or some other social media, those algorithms, that programming shapes everything you are seeing so that all you see are things that you agree with. If you are on Facebook and you are liking and sharing Bible quotes, then you're very unlikely to receive the same kinds of ads and articles as someone who is on Facebook quoting Richard Dawkins, an atheist. If I open up YouTube on my computer, it will bring up all of my favorite sources for news. If I open up my Facebook account, it will bring up a whole heap of ads and articles from people who agree with me. And that can be good at times. I mean, who wants to end up in an argument every time they open up their computer, to be confronted with things that are hard and challenging? But it can also keep us from finding out the truth. If all we ever see online is shaped so that it always agrees with us, then we aren't being exposed to all of the different other ideas. Our positions aren't getting challenged. And if you're only ever hearing from people who agree with you, it doesn't take long before you start to believe that you are right and everybody else who disagrees is either ignorant, stubborn, or hasn't taken the time to find out the truth. In a world where we are constantly being told online what we want to hear, we need a source of information that will tell us the uncensored truth, the truth about who we are, the truth about where we stand before God, and the truth about how we can be made right with Him. Because unless we find out the truth from the only one who won't censor it to try and make it more palatable, we won't find out the real truth. The truth that isn't easy to hear, that isn't easy to accept, but the truth that changes the lives of those who trust in it forever. The last thing we need is more ways for our itching ears to hear what they want to hear. What we really need for our spiritual health and our relationship with God is the truth. Today we're looking at the fourth reason that Jesus said he came into the world. And that is that Jesus came into the world to testify to the truth. As we go through these verses, we'll see that there are three main ways that Jesus testified to the truth. And the first one is that Jesus testified to the truth through his birth. And when Jesus was born that first Christmas, his birth testified to the truth of God's word. There are lots of things that we can control in this life, but no one can control the time at which they're born and the place in which they are born. That is something that is completely out of anyone's control. But Jesus, when he was born that first Christmas, his birth fulfilled more than 300 prophecies of his birth. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephraim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." But it wasn't just the Old Testament that foretold Jesus' birth. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel went to Mary and said that she will be with child, that she will give birth to a son, and that she was to give him the name Jesus, because he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. After Jesus was born, his birth was testified to the truth through angels who appeared to the shepherds out in the field, singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. Then through the shepherds who hurried to see Jesus and no doubt tell Mary and Joseph what they had seen. And then later, through the wise men, as we saw in the kids' chat, who saw the star and came to see the newly born king. There are lots of things that we can control in our lives, but no one can control the circumstances of their birth unless they are God. And so when Jesus was born into the world that first Christmas, his birth testifies to the truth of God's word. The second way that Jesus testified to the truth was through his earthly ministry. As Jesus shared the truth with the crowds, with the Pharisees, and even with his own disciples, he never, ever minced words. He never told them what they wanted to hear. He only ever told them the truth. And sometimes those truths were very hard to accept. An example of this is found in John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54. There Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Now, when the people in the crowds who had been following Jesus heard these words, they said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And many turned back and stopped following Jesus. In fact, even his own disciples struggled with this teaching. Later in chapter 6, verse 67, Jesus asked Peter if he was going to leave too. Peter was probably tempted. But as hard as this teaching was, Peter knew that Jesus had come to testify to the truth. And so Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." So why was Jesus asking him to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Well, earlier in chapter 6, Jesus had fed the 5,000. So there was a number of people who were following him just looking for another meal. They wanted to be fed. They wanted their stomachs to be filled. And so Jesus challenged them to stop chasing after food that spoils and instead chase after food that endures to eternal life. He wasn't telling them that they need to physically eat his flesh and physically drink his blood. He was encouraging them to seek spiritual food through faith in him instead of trying to fill their stomachs. Jesus wasn't interested in being popular. He had no intention of telling them what they wanted to hear, no intention of continuing to feed them, to keep them following. He wanted to feed them with spiritual food, food that lasts. Another time when Jesus' words would have been really hard to hear is in Luke chapter 13. There, some of the crowd had told Jesus about some Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with the pagan sacrifices. And when they told Jesus about these Galileans, they would have been looking for Jesus to tell them what these Galileans had done to deserve this punishment. They wanted Jesus to say that this happened because they had sinned in this certain way. But what Jesus actually said was, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." They told them about these Galileans in the hope that they'd feel better about their own sins. But Jesus went straight to the truth and told them that their sin was just as serious as the sins of those who had died. And unless they turn from their sins, they too would face God's judgment. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus never shied away from speaking the truth, even when it made him unpopular, even when it caused people to stop following him and go away. Because Jesus didn't come into the world to tell us what we want to hear. He came to tell us what we need to hear, the truth. The third way that Jesus testified to the truth was through his death and resurrection. Just like Jesus' birth, the way that Jesus would die was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before he was even born. And so his actions on the cross not only testified to the truth of God's word, but also to his faithfulness and love. As Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8 reminds us, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken." As Jesus went to the cross, his actions showed how serious our sin is. That the only way that we could be made right with God was if God himself took on human form, live the perfectly sinless life that only he was able to do, and then died in our place on the cross. As Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's how serious God takes sin. Even the little sins that we dismiss as not being all that bad, Jesus took all of those sins on himself and paid for them when he died on the cross. And even there, Jesus testified to the truth. As Jesus died, the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing the barrier that had separated people from God was now removed. Then a violent earthquake took place, and many who trusted in the Lord were raised from the dead. And when the centurion who had been guarding Jesus' body saw all of these things happen, he said, "Surely he was the Son of God." And 3 days later, Jesus continued to testify to the truth through his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 5 to 8 says that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and lastly, to the apostle Paul. Through his resurrection, Jesus testified to the truthfulness of God's promise, that those who put their faith in God's Son will not perish, but be raised to life forever in Christ. As Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Or as Hebrews chapter 1 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And so when Jesus came to testify to the truth, it wasn't the mere words and actions of a human being. It was the words and actions of God himself, born as a man, to die for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God and have the hope of everlasting life through him. The truth is not subjective. It doesn't make any difference at all whether we like the truth or not. It doesn't stop it from being the truth. Jesus came into this world to testify to the truth. He did that through his birth, through his ministry, and through his death and resurrection, so that those who would trust in him might have the hope of life forever in him. As Jesus himself says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so if no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, and if we are among those who know the truth, who know the way, then we are among those who have been commissioned to share this good news with our friends, our neighbours, our family members, whoever we know, so that they might get the opportunity to hear, believe, and to live in the light of the truth. Jesus isn't one of many ways that people can be saved. He is the only way that anyone can come into a right relationship with God. He isn't a lifestyle choice that might work for you. He is the one and only way to be made right with God. And he came to testify to that truth. Let's pray. Lord, we are constantly getting told all sorts of different things. are constantly getting bombarded with all sorts of ideas that go against your word, that go against the truth. We are constantly allowing ourselves to be distracted by those things. Lord, we pray this Christmas that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, that you would help us to walk as those who not only know the truth, but who are living out the truth, who are living in light of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we pray this, acknowledging that we need your Spirit and your word to be working in our hearts and our minds for us to do this. So, Lord, help us to walk in the truth, in the light of what you have done for us. Amen.